All right, what's up, class? This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and we're back for episode 46. We got our friend Ben the Carman to present on Taproot, but before we get there, we got a few words from our sponsor, and currently we're at block height 661,690, and the current price is 21,735. Let's go, boys. We outcha. All right, Nick. All right, Nick, take it away.
Yo, what's up, everyone? Glad to be here on Bitcoin's new all-time high. Today, we have a quick word from our sponsor. That is Citadel 21. It's a Bitcoin cultural zine that displays the best of the best running content by the Taco Plebs for the Taco Plebs. You can read all their articles online for free or even purchase physical copies of all your favorite volumes. But you got to be quick because there's only a limited amount of each edition. And if you're interested in writing for them, they allow anyone and everyone to submit articles. So if you're eager to write something, I highly recommend you do it. Check out their website at Citadel21. Their link will be in the description below. But today for our presentation, we have Ben the Carman doing a presentation on Taproot and why it's important. Ben, take it away.
Thanks for the intro, guys. Yeah, so we're going to just do Taproot for kindergartners. This is supposed to be like a high level of like what Taproot does for Bitcoin and why, like how it works for a little bit and then like why it's important. So we're going to start with just some terms that you guys should know that will come up later and hopefully give you a better understanding. So the first term I want to define is a single sig output. This is like a kind of output that your standard wallet will use. Like if you're using something like Blue Wallet or like Wasabi or like an Electrum, like normal wallet, your wallet's going to be using this. Most like 99% of users are using this kind of wallet, and that's what most users use. But there's another type of output that exists in Bitcoin called that I'm going to call a script spend output. These have like fancier things. They're if like instead of just having a signature to spend the coins, you might want to put some other spending conditions like, you know, multiple signatures or a time lock or something like that. This is used in a whole bunch of different things that Bitcoin uses, like Lightning, DLCs, Liquid, basically like any Bitcoin smart contracts or second layer solution needs to use some sort of script. And then another thing I want to define is an opcode. These are actually what exist inside of a script to actually like make that script do things. So like some examples of opcodes is like op5, which gives you the number 5, or op add, which will take two numbers and add them together, or op checksig verifies a signature, op SHA-256 does the SHA-256 hash of a piece of data. So like these opcodes exist in Bitcoin, and we're going to talk about later how Bitcoin or in Taproot how we can change what these do. So the goals of Taproot. The general theme of Taproot is to like basically move contract validation and logic to the user instead of to the entire Bitcoin network. Because in the grand scheme of things, we shouldn't care what someone else's contract does, because that's a lot of data to put and a lot more computation time that I need to verify that I shouldn't have to if the user signs off on it. So what should happen is the user does their fancy validation off chain, and then we just validate that, you know, they aren't inflating the money supply. So that's like the general theme of what Taproot's trying to accomplish. And then with that, since we're doing a soft fork, we're able to add in some other nice things. So we're going to unify these single sig and script spends. So that's going to improve user privacy. And then we can add some optimizations where we can, because we are adding some new features that allow us to do that. So Taproot has three changes rolled into one to accomplish these goals, which are Snore, TapScript, and then the namesake of this upgrade, Taproot. So let's get into that. So Snore is a replacement for the current signature scheme, ECDSA. We'll get into the exact specifics of it later, but it's basically just a more efficient version of ECDSA. Our signatures will be smaller, and it allows for new use cases that aren't possible with ECDSA, or some things are possible with ECDSA, but they're just not as clean as to do and require like a lot more data or like a lot more rounds of communication that just aren't very clean, and Snort makes it much easier to do. TapScript is a replacement for Bitcoin's current scripting language. It's mostly the same, but it changes a few things. One of them is changing the signature checks to Schnorr. I mean, obviously, if we want to have Schnorr, we need to change our signature checks to that, so it's an obvious thing we do. And then what it also does is add more routes for upgradability. We'll talk about how we do this later, but it's really nice and fixes some problems that Bitcoin's upgradability paths today that we can't do, but TapScript will enable us to do in the future. And then Taproot, it's a new fancy way to do pay-to-script hash. So instead of like today when you're doing a script spend, you have to reveal your entire script under a hash. With Taproot, we'll show how you can do that by only revealing parts of your script. And because we're doing this, we also unify these two output types, the script spend and the single sig spend. So why do we want Schnorr? Schnorr is a more efficient and secure version of ECDSA. So the efficiency gains come from two things. One, they're going to be smaller in size by so current ECDSA signatures are around 71 bytes. Sometimes it's a little more, sometimes it's a little less because of the encoding we use. But with Schnorr, we can change the encoding of it to be the smallest version possible, which will be 64 bytes. So every signature will be around 5 or 6 bytes, or like 7 or 8 bytes smaller, which is really nice. So that's just like less on-chain data, so it'll be, you know, less block space and less fees for you, and it allows for batch verification. So today with ECDSA, if you get a block from a peer and you need to verify, you know, all those signatures now, you have to individually take each signature, verify it, and then move on to the next. And this is computationally expensive. With Schnorr, we can take all these signatures in a block or in a transaction, add them together, and then do verification at the very end. And this will save a lot on verification time and should reduce the overhead that is needed to run a node. So this should just, it's just a general improvement, and there's no downsides to that. And then the security proof is a lot better compared to ECDSA. There's no new assumptions compared to ESA, but there are less assumptions. So you can't do a reduction from the ECDSA proof to the Schnorr proof, but if you trust the ECDSA proof, you should trust the Schnorr proof. And it enables new use cases. One thing that most people have heard about probably through Twitter or something is key aggregation, which is better known as MuSig. What that allows you to do is take, like, if you want to do a multi-sig of, say, like a 2 of 2 multi-sig, instead of having to put two keys and two signatures on chain, you can instead have that represented as one key. Was this similar like we were talking about earlier, where you move the validation logic and the contract logic off chain, where instead of having the entire chain verify these two public keys and two signatures, you and your peer will instead create a key for each other that represents both of you, and you'll use that to like spend your output. So it's a lot, this is a better way. You're gonna have better privacy and less block space. And then scriptless scripts, they're a lot easier to do with Schnorr. They're kind of complicated to get into exactly what scriptless scripts are, but it's another thing, like I talked about earlier, where we are moving validation logic off-chain. And instead of doing, having your script be like on-chain, you can move it into being like a cryptographic proof inside of your signature. And then it'll also enable more stuff in the future that's not going to be in this upgrade. But with Schnorr, we could do stuff like aggregated signatures between multiple like transactions or inputs. This isn't doable yet, and it's still being like researched how exactly to do it in a good way for Bitcoin. But it will be possible once we add Schnorr, so it's a good thing to add on now. So what exactly is the difference? You can see these are the two formulas. The only difference is this K and the ECDSA formula. I mean, ECDSA was created because the Schnorr signature schema was patented. And so they just added one variable to get around that patent and still be secure. So it's just a simplification of it. And fuck you, Klaus Schnorr, for patenting math 30 years ago. But so why do we want TapScript? TapScript is a Bitcoin scripting language upgrade. So today's Bitcoin scripting language doesn't really have the best upgrade ability pass. Today, how if you want to do an upgrade to Bitcoin's scripting language, what you would do is change something called an op nop. What an op nop is just a operation code that does nothing. So if you wanted to have a operation code that has side effects, you can't. To better explain this, so currently when we do upgrades, we do things like check lock time verify. So what that does is it checks the lock time, and if it's the number you want, it'll fail. Otherwise, it continues. So it can only fail the actual script's validation. You can't have it, say if you wanted to create op add with an op nop, you couldn't actually do that because if you have it have a side effect and like add two numbers together and put that into the script, then old nodes won't be able to do that because they're just seeing op nop is doing nothing and you would cause a hard fork. So this isn't really ideal, and we can't do everything we want to do with an op nop. And because of that, we also can't add full schnorr support with just changing op nops. So what we're instead doing is creating a whole new scripting language for Bitcoin, or at least Bitcoin's outputs. And also Bitcoin current scripting language has a lot of disabled op codes. These were disabled in the early days because either they were bugged or dangerous. I know one of them, like op left shift, could like shut down the entire network as it was discovered. So I mean, obviously that was disabled. But with TapScript, we're gonna undisable all these and just make them like undefined op codes. And we'll talk about how we actually do that to make them new upgradability pass actually. So what it does is changes all our schnorr or all our ECDSA signature checks to schnorr from the old scripting language. And all unused op codes and all the unused op nops are going to become op success. Because op success is just our new way to upgrade Bitcoin script, where instead of having it do nothing, what it does is it just validates the script is true. So then old nodes, when they see an op success, they just stop validating the script and just say the transaction is valid. So this means in the future, the op code can do anything we want, because old nodes will stop executing the script, so the new nodes can now do whatever they want afterwards and still validate true or false. And then the other thing is a kind of technical thing, but it's pretty minor, but enforces minimal if, which means that basically people have to use a more efficient version of their scripts if they have an if else in there. Today, this is not a consensus rule, but like your node won't relay transactions that don't follow this. But someone could still put it in a block technically. But it's just since it's been this was like first introduced as a mempool rule in with SegWit, but since it's been like 3 years and people should have upgraded by now to like fix that bug basically in their software, we're gonna make it a consensus rule and people have to use the most efficient version just to save on space for everyone. Okay, so why do we want Taproot? So currently we have two distinct output types in Bitcoin, pay to witness pub key hash, which is like the standard single spend that like a basic user wallet uses, or pay to witness script hash, which is like what a like a more complicated script will use, or any contract that's not a standard user wallet. And these can't share an anonymity sets because they're very distinct on chain. You can easily tell, and because of that, it hurts user privacy, not even for just the user, but everyone around them, because now that those users can't hide with like the other random people. And you have to decide when you're receiving how you're going to spend it in the future. So like for example, if you receive to a fancy script, you can't instead be like, actually, I want to do it the easy, simple way and just spend it, using the more private single sig spend. So currently, and also currently, when you're doing a script spend, you have to reveal your entire script. So you're going to reveal your entire spending conditions, and this can be really large on chain. And everyone's going to have to verify that. Everyone's going to have to store it permanently. So it kind of sucks for the user because they're paying fees to put that on chain, and it sucks for everyone else because they have to store that thing forever. And then it's going to hurt privacy because, if you do have multiple spending conditions in your script, you're going to reveal even the ones that you're not using. So say if you have a script that says, if it's before this date, I want to spend it with this multi-sig. If it's after this date, I want to spend it with this multi-sig, two separate multi-sigs. You'd have to reveal both of those multi-sigs, even though you're only using one of them when you're going to spend. And just, so that's just going to be more space on chain. And you're revealing both of those, which sucks because you're only actually going to be using one. And by doing that as well, you're hurting your anonymity set because now your transaction can only be grouped with the same people that are also using, multi-sig or a different multi-sig based on a date. Versus if you were able to only reveal the script suspend you're using, then you could just reveal, just a multi-sig, and it would really greatly increase your anonymity set by just revealing that, as well as help out other users because they're also going to be then they'll like you'll be part of their anonymity set as well. So how does Taproot work? So scripts are broken up into a Merkle tree. So basically what this means is we take each spending path and we give it a leaf inside a tree, and then when you go to spend, you only reveal the leaf that you're using, and then every other spending path you're not using, you only give the hash of it. So in the case where you're saying the two multi-sigs, if you're using the after 2020 multi-sig, you would only give the hash of the pre-2020 multi-sig, and then you'd actually reveal the public keys of your current multi-sig. And then this will help a lot because say basically any script is going to be over 32 bytes because it's probably going to contain a public key which is 32 bytes. So there's not going to be you'll never you'll probably always save space by doing this, and you're increasing your privacy. And this has no new security assumptions since we're just using hashes as scripts. We already do that today with any pay the script hash thing, and Merkle trees are already a base assumption of Bitcoin as well, because that's part of how blocks are constructed. So it's just like a basically just a more efficient way to have a script spend and save on space and privacy, which is a huge benefit. And then there's the unifier of these, where how we get to make our two output types the exact same, where if we want to have a script spend and a key spend available to us, we just take them, our key and our script hash, and we just add them together. And then the result of that addition is going to be our actual public key that we'll put on chain. So then when you go to spend, what you're actually doing is say if you're going to use your script, you just reveal that public key that you aren't using, and then take the hash of your script, and they'll add it together and verify that, and then they'll also just verify your script. And if those two things check out, then they'll say, "Oh, script and this key belong to the root public key that they showed me. This is the correct spend." And if you want to spend with the key, then you just give a signature for the big public key, and that's trivial to do. You would just take the Merkle root hash and add the same thing to your private key, and then create a signature for that, which is really easy to do. And you can do like a lots of fancy things with this. So with like something like MuSig, where you can make a single public key represent an infinite number of parties, you could have this public key be like your happy condition. Like say if you're doing a two of three multi-sig, you could have that inner key be the three signers. So you just say if all of us agree, then we don't have to reveal any script, and we're just going to use this inner key. And so then when you just go to spend, you're always going to only be really revealing just a single public key on chain. So you're going to save a ton on space and then a ton of privacy. And this is like huge applications for us because almost all like off-chain or second layer solutions in Bitcoin use multi-sig to accomplish that. So things like Lightning, Liquid, DLCs, like basically like any side chain. Or just even like just multi-sig quorums and stuff like that. All of that's going to benefit from this because they can now share anonymity set with regular users. So then you now could have like a Lightning channel that just looks like a standard user, and people would be none the wiser. So it's going to make blockchain analytics so much harder to do. And also, just to make sure it's like secure, these can be provably disabled as well. So like if you don't want to have that option to do the key spend, you could there's a way to like mathematically make a key that no one in the party could actually sign for. So and then also you could just not make a script hash and just make the big public key your actual key that you were going to use anyways, and not have a available script spend. So both features are options, and they're both like opt-in, but it's opt-in at spending time, not receiving time. So the user really gets a lot of options for how they want to spend their money, and it's going to enable a lot of like new features and optimizations for current protocols. So what the fuck was all that? So basically, in summary, transactions will be a lot smaller. For example, 22 of 3 multisig is about 45% smaller on chain. That's like a standard multisig that most users use, and 45% is a humongous increase for a transaction size, and it's also going to be faster to validate as well because we're only validating one signature. So it's going to be like a huge boon for users and node runners. And then they're also going to be more private. Like we said, multisig will look like a single sig in ideal cases. So this is going to be for multisig users and like any second layer solution. And now also our complicated scripts will be hidden. So even if you're using like a, say if you're using Lightning, but you have to like force close and someone's trying to steal your money, today if someone does that, they still have to reveal your entire like fancy script that enables like Lightning to be safe. But with this, we'll only reveal the parts we're using. So it'll be a lot cleaner to do and even more private. So even in those bad cases, it's still better for you because we're not revealing our entire script and and you're still saving on fees as well. And batch verification is going to be a huge boon as well for node runners because it'll be just less resources than to run a full node. But I do note this won't be like able to be backdated onto the current blockchain. So it'll only be for Schnorr signatures that occur in blocks, but that'll still be, I expect Taproot to get significant adoption from users just because of all these benefits. And, the more users that adopt this, the more nodes will benefit from it. And then, so I want to finish this off with, when is Taproot? We've been talking about Taproot probably, a lot for the last year, but Taproot's been in like the Bitcoin dev discussions for like 3 or 4 years now. But it should be coming soon. Maybe a couple months ago, the code was merged into Bitcoin Core, which will be probably released within this month. Release candidate 3 was tagged a few days ago, and it's looking very close to being released. But we still need activation a method decided on. But it's looking like that we won't really need to care which activation method we choose because some miners are running the site taprootactivation.com. They've already got 83% of miners to signal support, at least like miner hash rate from pools. And this could also change quickly. Say, we do start activation, and someone's mining for a pool that's not signaling Taproot. They could just change to a new pool, and and then so it could quickly switch from like 83 to like 98% if people decide, I'm only going to mine for a pool that supports Taproot. And activation logic will likely be released in a Bitcoin Core implementation a month or two after this next Bitcoin Core release is done. It's just to be in a minor version, which will only be or two, and shouldn't be too bad. But say you're like, fuck Bitcoin Core, fuck the miners. I'm a sovereign individual. We're all sovereign individuals. We're going to do what we want. We don't need to use the standard rails. We could always just USAF it, like what we did with SegWit, and just decide to activate it. Whatever. It is nice to go through the standard rails, and it just makes miners and exchanges happy. But and then after activation, once it's actually done, we're going to still have to get users to start using it, and then wallets and the protocols actually implement this. But if Taproot gets activated today, we're not going to get all these benefits immediately because wallets will have to implement it, Lightning will have to implement it, Liquid will have to implement it. But it'll all be available for us, and that'll really start motivating developers to start working on it and actually implementing it into their software. But I know we saw with SegWit where In the first like few months, it was only like 10% use, but like within a year, we had like 50% use. So it shouldn't take too long for us to really reap these benefits. So that's all I have for you guys. Just feel free to ask any question now, though.
Ben, that was an amazing presentation. I think that the best slide, at least for me, right, was what the fuck does that all mean? And because the technical stuff that just goes over my head. But I think you did a really good presentation. And the only question that I have for you, man, is because it looks like there's a lot of brain power behind these massive decisions, and it looks like there's complex mathematics involved, which I totally don't understand. But how are the politics on Bitcoin Core GitHub? Like, who calls the shots? Like, what's the hierarchy there, you know? Because obviously, like, these are ginormous decisions, and there needs to be some type of how does that work?
I mean, it depends. Vladimir Vanderlin is the maintainer, has like basically god rights over the repo. But at the end of the day, like, it doesn't matter what any of them do, because like we're not gonna run the software if they put some bullshit in it. But I don't know. So like most of this was developed by like Peter Woola, Jonas Nick, I think AJ Towns and Greg Maxwell were like the four main people that did most of the development on this. Not just like code development, but also like speccing this out, figuring out what's the best way to do this, and stuff like that. I know like recently, as like earlier this year, Peter Woola and Greg Maxwell did like some humongous computation that was like worth the computation time on some like huge computer that they had to find like the most optimal way to do something, and then so like that was implemented into like the specification for Taproot. So like stuff like that is like all hard, like very hard worked on. But as actual like merge rights, I'm not too sure who has all the rights, but Vladimir Vanderlin, like I said, is like the basically the supreme leader of the Bitcoin Core repo, but he's also like super reserved. Like he was actually in like IRC meetings I read, he was kind of against merging Taproot by now. He wanted to have more review and more time, but I don't know, here we are.
Thanks for that.
Hey Ben, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
When you were saying about revealing scripts, and how Schnorr can obfuscate that, is it only a privacy thing? I get the impression it's you're closing out a channel or you're spending, and you're revealing a script that the at the end where it's irrelevant at that point, but only to execute the transaction. So is it it's not an issue of r risking the transaction or something. It's more that you're revealing the privacy that you wouldn't otherwise need to reveal, and which Schnorr and Taproot gives you the ability to just like nobody ever even knows you had those options back there, because why do they need to know? Is that accurate, right? Accurate way to look at it.
Yeah, exactly. Like I guess like a super simple way to explain it is like say you have three cars and you want to drive to work. You don't need, like today you need to take all three cars to work. With Taproot, you only have to take one. And like it's just like you're just like basically only taking or using what you specifically need, and then everything else is just like being hidden away and it's not revealed.
Almost as if it wasn't even there to the outside world. They don't see it. Only the people involved would have known.
Yeah, exactly. So like if me and you are doing this contract, I'll know all about it because it's my thing that I want to validate. And
And I know about part of it or the whole thing as well, correct?
yeah,
And
like the
you could know only part of it if you're not. Would that be even fair? Would somebody be a party to something where they don't even know every script available to potentially?
I mean it depends. It might be kind of dangerous because like say if we had like three cases and you only revealed two of them to me, like that third case could just be like your public key that you just sign for immediately and take all the money. So that might not be the safest, but I guarantee there could be some use case for that somewhere.
Yeah, I guess if you're one side of a transaction, you want to know all the possible outcomes.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair. All right.
It could
Thanks.
be, I could see a use case though where like, say I want to send the money, like I'm not on the receiving end, but I'm on the sending end, and I want to verify that like a spending condition exists in that output. You could like reveal like, this is part of my script. Here's the, and then hide the one part and then be like, so then you give it to me saying that
Okay,
like,
that's a good example. Like, so I'm sending the money. I don't need to know all the other possible available choices that you have at your end if all I need to know is the, is where I'm sending it. Okay, is that what you're trying to say? Like, sorry. All right, thank you.
Beautiful. Jessifer, Bitcoin is us. Do you guys want to ask your questions personally, or do you want me to read them off?
Oh yeah, let's see, you mentioned the space savings for minimal if, and I hadn't heard about that before. So if you could give me like kind of a sense of how much savings might be involved in that would be really cool.
It's at most 1 byte. Well, 1 byte per if statement. So like what minimal if is if you want to use the false case, you can either use op false or you could put in nothing. And so minimal if basically say you have to put in nothing, so you put one less byte into your transaction per statement. So if you have like five if statements, it'd be a 5 byte savings. If you have one if statement, it'd be a 1 byte saving.
Awesome. That's one sat saved. Thank you. Awesome presentation.
Thanks.
We've got one question here by Bitcoin is us. I think he's being shy, but the question was, how many years has Taproot been developed so far?
Probably around 3 or 4. I know like it's been like all these ideas have been talked about for a while. Like Schnorr was talked about in like 2012 or something, and Taproot's probably been talked about for like maybe 5 years, and like not like the entire upgrade, but like the Taproot part of Taproot. TapScript's relatively new, but it's mostly just like it's a really small change, mostly obvious changes. So it hasn't been discussed as long, but since it's so minimal, it's not as big a deal. But like Taproot as like, BIPS 340 for 342 have probably been talked about for like 3 years at least. And the code's probably, I would say, 2 years old. And I mean the PR to put Schnorr into the library that Bitcoin uses was 2.5 years old, I think, when it was merged. So like all the stuff has been worked on for a long time and has been like thoroughly reviewed, and as well as the ideas. So it's well reviewed, and I'm happy about it.
Bullish. Well, thanks for coming out, Ben. That was a great presentation for the dummies like myself over here. So super hyped on this. I'll probably have to listen to this one another time to soak in all your wisdom. But Nick, do you want to roll us out?
Sure. Again, Ben, thank you again for coming out and doing this presentation. We've had you on before, and we will definitely have you on again in the future. For those of you who weren't paying attention to the chat, at the end of Ben's presentation, we just hit 22K, and I'm really fucking hyped about that. So we'll talk more about that in the next segment. But yeah, we'll see you guys next week. We already got next week guests lined up, and we'll announce it later this week. It's going to be pretty good. So yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Awesome. I'm excited, Nick. Sounds dope.
Glad I could pump the price for you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Ben.
Few understand the Bitcoin kindergarten pump.
Anytime.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, guys. This was episode 46, and join us again every week. All right. Peace out.